It's time for the PowerMizzou.com podcast with interviews and analysis of your Missouri Tigers. Now, here's your host, Gabe DeArmond.
Welcome back to the PowerMizzou.com podcast. SEC Championship Game Week kickoff, just about 48 hours away by the time this gets all edited and posted. And so we are talking Missouri-Alabama. We're going to have Aaron Suttles from the Tuscaloosa News and Tidesports.com. Aaron, how you doing today?
I'm well, Gabe. How are you?
Not too bad. Take off here in about 18 hours from Kansas City, hoping it is not going to be 35 and raining in Atlanta this weekend.
I'm standing outside in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and it's about in the mid-70s, almost 80 degrees. I would actually like some colder weather, but I hear what you're saying, and I guess I'm a little spoiled by our weather here.
Yeah, if you want to trade places, you know, if you want to take my flight back to KC, we're good for a week. But let's get down to this game. I mean, Alabama, not the prettiest Iron Bowl win, I guess, but, hey, actually, most entertaining game I watched this year and did the trick and got them where they need to go. So where's Alabama at coming into this game? I mean, a step away from obviously in the playoff.
I think the most concern Alabama has, you know, would be injury on the injury front. We saw Cam Robinson, the true freshman, five-star left tackle, who's played pretty well all season for a freshman, went down late in that Auburn game with a separated shoulder. He has been practicing a little bit. T.J. Yeldon remains banged up. Amari Cooper played at the Iron Bowl with a cast, or rather a brace on his knee. That didn't seem to hinder him much.
Yeah.
But Alabama does have some injuries, so from that aspect, that's kind of the main topic we've been hitting around here. Obviously, they know the task ahead of them, what they're playing for. So if they can get healthy, that's kind of the biggest concern right now.
We'll get to the specifics, matchups and stuff in a minute. But just big picture, I understand Alabama fans are going to be excited for any SEC title game, any game that you know, has them a step away from a potential national title. But this is the, I guess, SEC dynasty versus the team that, A, nobody thought would be here, and B, a lot seem to still think shouldn't really be here. A lot of people maybe think the East just shouldn't have played this game. I mean, what's the view, not necessarily from the players, because the players and coaches are going to take every game seriously, but media, fans, the view of the Alabama, I guess, contingent of this game?
Well, I think it doesn't have the appeal that maybe an Alabama, Georgia would have, a more traditional game. But I think from my standpoint, listen, personally, I'm getting tired of all the condescending questions that Gary Pinkel continually gets asked at SEC Media Day, even on the teleconference. I mean, what has Missouri got to do to get a little respect? You come in your first 3 years in the league and you've won your division twice. So obviously a tremendous football coach and a great football program. But I think is it going to be a rating spectacular? No, just because it doesn't have the name, it doesn't have the draw yet. It could, you know, 20 years from now. But I think what most fans know about Missouri is the tremendous defensive line that they seem to have every year, the way they're able to rush the passer, an opportunistic team that's going to take advantage of every mistake that you make, an opportunistic offense that will, if you make a mistake, they're going to take advantage of it. So from that aspect, you know, I haven't seen a lot of Missouri this year. I know what kind of coach Gary Pinkel is. I know what kind of team he usually puts on the field, one that normally doesn't beat itself. I think from an Alabama standpoint, that's about as much as we know. And I think, at least from my way of thinking, hopefully this appearance in Atlanta will garner them a little more respect than they've been getting their first 3 years in the conference.
That's interesting to hear that point of view from the other side, because I know Missouri fans feel that way, but I think every fan base in America tends to think they're disrespected. Interesting to hear that from the other side. Let's start with a matchup that you just mentioned. To me, it's not just the key to this game. It's the key to any game Missouri plays, is Marcus Golden, Shane Ray, that defensive line. You know, they've got to put some pressure on Blake Sims. A, do you think they can do it? And B, you know, how has Sims reacted when teams have gotten after him a little bit? I know he's athletic and can get out of the pocket, but if he's got some pressure on him, how's he played?
Well, I do think, you know, I'm always going to judge a team by what they're able to do well, and Missouri is able to rush the passer. So I do think they'll be able to put some pressure. Having said that, Alabama's offensive line has been pretty good this year in sacks allowed. haven't allowed a lot. And then if the challenging thing with Alabama this year is even if you do get pressure, that may be when Blake Sims is at his best. Now, they're not going to call a ton of design runs for him, maybe one or two a game tops. But he's really dangerous when you pressure him because he just acts naturally and uses his athletic gifts, and he's a tremendous athlete. He's very slippery. It's almost one of the harder guys to tackle in the entire conference. So from that aspect, the Missouri defensive line really has their work cut out for him. Now, he's not going to look to leave the pocket a lot, but if Missouri is able to collapse, make the quarterback throwing lanes and the pocket smaller, Blake will do what he does, and that's normally take off and burn a defense for a pretty good game.
Now, you mentioned scary to think that was not full strength Amari Cooper in the Auburn game, because I don't think there's much question he's the best player in college football. Every team obviously goes into a game with Alabama saying we can't let Amari Cooper beat us, and whatever they try, Amari Cooper's still beating them. I mean, is there a way to contain this kid?
I think what you have to do is to contain Amari, you have to make Blake uncomfortable. You have to constantly change coverages on Amari. I don't think one particular way will be good enough. You can't play him man-to-man because he's too talented, and exclusively man-to-man. So I think you need to make up some bracketed coverage on him. You need to play man-to-man. You need to try to be physical with him. Just throw your entire arsenal at him. But the best way is to get pressure on Blake. And if you can make him get rid of the ball quick, one thing Blake has had a tendency to do this year, he's fallen back on Amari so much. And, heck, who wouldn't? Amari has him 1,500 yards receiving, so you can certainly understand why. But if you can make him get rid of the ball quickly, knowing he's going to try to go to his safety route and maybe – have a linebacker undercut it, maybe get some easy turnovers. We saw Auburn pick Blake off three times. At least one of those was a pass to Amari. So the best way is to make Blake uncomfortable and just switch the coverages up on him as much as you can.
It's strange to me, as somebody who obviously doesn't follow Alabama all that closely, to be looking at an Alabama team and saying that the scariest thing about their offense is the passing game. That's not to say the running game isn't, but I think probably it's not the traditional Alabama offense we've gotten used to. Obviously, Yeldon and Henry are both incredibly talented backs. My impression is if there's a potential opening here for Missouri, T.J. Yeldon, at least earlier in his career, had a tendency every now and then to put the ball on the ground. Is that still the case? Turnover is a key in any game, but is that something that has bitten Yeldon in Alabama at all, or have they pretty much solved that?
No, it still remains a problem with T.J. You don't have to go back very far to remember that LSU game in primetime on CBS with under 2 minutes remaining in the game, about a minute left, with Alabama deep in its own territory. T.J. fumbled and probably should have cost Alabama that football game. And, you know, fortunately for Alabama fans and the team, Blake let him on a tremendous 2-minute drive to tie that game up with a field goal. But, you know, by any measure, they probably should have lost that game. T.J. fumbled inside of his own 10. That still remains. We kind of have a saying around here, once a fumbler, always a fumbler. And obviously it's said in good fun because T.J. Yeldon is a tremendous running back. But, you know, his biggest weakness is fumbling. And also, he's still not 100%. He's still kind of banged up from that play. When he fumbled, he actually had his ankle sprained. So he's not 100%, and this isn't your father's Alabama offense in terms of being able to just grind out a win by running it 60 times a game. So
right.
He's still a tremendously talented back, probably one of the best backs in terms of vision in the country. But he's not at full strength, and as you mentioned, he's been turnover prone in his career.
Talking with Aaron Suttles, previewing Alabama, let's jump to the other side of the football. I think a lot of people watched the Iron Bowl and thought Alabama's vulnerable to the big play. I also think people don't realize maybe that Auburn has two first-round draft picks playing wide receiver, and they have a running game that you have to be scared of all the time. Is Alabama vulnerable to the big play, or was that more about Auburn than about Alabama?
You know, Gabe, that's a great question because I've watched this Alabama defense all year, and they got better each week. You know, prior to the Auburn game, their worst defensive performance was against West Virginia, where they also might have a first-round draft pick in Kevin White at wide receiver. I did not see that coming. They have not given up a lot of big plays, and it seemed like every other play was a big play for Auburn. So, absolutely, if you're Matty Mock, you gotta test these corners deep. I mean, at this point, we still don't know. It's Thursday. We don't know who's going to be playing opposite Cyrus Jones, at the second quarterback spot. It's been Eddie Jackson all year. He got absolutely toasted by Sammy Coates. They brought in the five-star freshman, Tony Brown. He gives up a touchdown. And then they went back to Bradley Silva, a converted kind of athlete guy who started the first game of the year and really hadn't seen the field since. And he did a pretty good job. But my sense is that they'll go back to Eddie. They'll go back to the guy that's got the most experience this year. But if you're Missouri and you're not throwing the ball deep once a drive or at least a couple times a quarter, you need to have some questions, because I would want to see Alabama prove that they can stop these big plays, because that was against Auburn was something we hadn't seen this year very much of, but it looked pretty easy from how Auburn did it too.
Yeah, and I think that does fit in with what Missouri likes to do. I mean, Mock is a guy that he doesn't hit the singles and doubles real well, but he likes to hit the home runs. So I think Missouri has to take two or three shots a half, and their receivers have to go win some battles and see how it works out. One more on this game specifically. I never like putting people on the spot and asking predictions, but from an Alabama perspective, if Alabama does what, they could find themselves on the wrong side of this thing. I mean, obviously Alabama's a two-touchdown favorite and deserves to be, but I think a lot of people think this game has a chance to be closer than that.
I think they turned the football over. Fortunately for them, they turned the ball over three times against Auburn and was able to overcome an 11-point deficit in the second half. You just don't see very much of that against quality football teams. So if Alabama turns the ball over like they did against Auburn, I could easily see Missouri slipping out of Atlanta with an SEC championship.
All right, I want your picture because your take, you followed the playoff thing all season long, obviously. I have spent the last 8 weeks telling Missouri fans it doesn't matter. They can't get in no matter what they do. The committee basically told them the same thing on Tuesday night, keeping them at 16. Your take, a 4-team playoff without a team from the SEC. A, will we see it if Missouri wins? And B, should we see it?
If Missouri wins, yes, we will see it. I don't think Missouri would get in. As you mentioned, I think.
But will Alabama get in, I guess, is my question.
I don't think they should. They might. I saw today an interesting article from ESPN that there's about a 68% chance that Alabama would still get in with a loss, and I don't think they should. But also, I don't know. There's so many variables. How does Ohio State look versus Wisconsin without their starting quarterback? I think if Alabama loses, I don't see the committee giving the SEC a spot. I'm of the opinion right now with the strength of the league that you almost have to reserve a spot for one SEC team. But I don't know if the committee wants to send that message that if Alabama loses and doesn't win its conference championship, that they want to give them a spot. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I'm fascinated. Either way, hey, this is different. I don't think it's better, because I think we're actually going to have even more outrage on December 8th than we've had in previous years, one way
completely
or the other.
Completely agree.
All right, Aaron, well, I appreciate the time and look forward to seeing you on Saturday, and we'll see what happens in the Georgia Dome.
All right, Gabe, travel safely and stay warm.
All right, have a good one. Aaron Suttles, TideSports.com, the Tuscaloosa News. Interesting perspective there. To me, from a guy that covers the dynastic program in the SEC and really in the country right now, I mean, pretty much direct quote, what does Missouri have to do to get more respect? Really interesting to hear that from the other side of this. I understand why Missouri fans think they're disrespected. I don't think that comes from Alabama. Not in this game. Not with Nick Saban. Not with his players. Not with the people that follow the Alabama program, the media, the interactions I've had. There is disrespect out there for Missouri. I don't think it's from the Alabama Crimson Tide. All right, from one current Alabama beat writer to a former member of the media that used to cover the Tide. Well, not former member of the media. A member of the media that used to cover the Alabama Crimson Tide. Chase Goodbread, college football 24/7, NFL.com. Chase, how you doing, man?
Good, Gabe. How are you?
Not too bad. All right, mentioned that you've covered this Alabama program in the past. Obviously, kind of a new role the last couple years. But before we get into this game, your overview of this Alabama team, my thought is it's still Alabama. It's not white Alabama we've gotten used to the last 4 or 5 years.
I think that's accurate. It's not as dominant an Alabama team as we've seen, certainly in 2009 or 2011, but it's still a very capable one. There are some spots that are soft. One of those was exposed in the Iron Bowl, which is obviously the pass coverage, particularly at the cornerback spot. They're inexperienced there. They've had some trouble there. They've rotated some guys at corner this year, and Nick Marshall looked like Johnny Unitas last Saturday. So, yeah, that's one area where Alabama's not up to their typical standard. And on the offensive line, they've been a little bit up and down this season as well. So, yeah, not a dominant team, but a very good one.
And just talked to Aaron Suttles before I called you, and he said something interesting because Missouri fans feel this way, but I think all fans feel this way. But Aaron said, you know, it's a little bit irritating, honestly, to see some of the questions Gary Pinkel's asked about this Missouri program and when are they going to start to get some respect. Give me the national kind of 3,000-foot or 30,000-foot view of this Missouri program. Do you think Pinkel and his program get credit for what they've done over the last few years?
I certainly think that winning back-to-back division titles carries with it a lot more respect than just winning one. I'll be the first to admit that after Missouri won it last year, which, of course, surprised everybody, I absolutely did not expect them to do it again. They lost so much talent. They lost, of course, the two big defensive linemen. But, you know, they lost Gaines, the cornerback, who I thought was an outstanding player. Second-round pick on the offensive line, they lose. Of course, they lost James Franklin. And I realized Matty Mock was already showing promise last year, but to say nothing of all the wide receiver talent they lost last year and the running back. So, I mean, it's really, for my money, it's a pretty new Missouri team this year. I didn't see them finishing on top of the division at all again. They've done it again. All you can do is tip your cap. I think the only thing, you know, to your question about national respect, I think the only thing that still might hold Missouri back a little bit perception-wise is the fact that the conference is so lopsided right now, seemingly, between the divisions where the West is the monster and the East is light. I think that might be holding back the perception of Missouri just a little bit, that they're climbing on top of a division that's down. But just because the SEC East is down doesn't mean it's easy to win.
Yeah, because I guess my counterargument to that would be, I would understand if Missouri was in the SEC title game either last year or this year because South Carolina and Georgia had played, you know, Alabama and LSU and lost those games. But Missouri's in this game 2 years in a row because South Carolina couldn't beat Tennessee last year and Georgia couldn't beat Florida or South Carolina this year. So I guess they're here by winning the games they should have won while other teams couldn't do it.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And really – I mean, if you look at Florida and South Carolina, you know, they've had their chances. Yeah, there are some years. Tennessee, to me, is the real key to the East coming back strong because, you know, that's the – look, if you want to go way back to the 90s, there was a time when the East was the dominant side of the league and the West was light, you know, when Danny Werfel and Peyton Manning were playing quarterback and Georgia was winning 9-10 games on top of that. The East was an incredible task to win. And so I think when Tennessee comes back strong under Butch Jones, yeah, we'll see, I guess, if Jim McElwain gets Florida going. But Georgia's always going to be a good program. I think the East is going to be getting tougher before it gets easier.
Now, mentioned one of what you do. You work for NFL.com. One of your responsibilities following all the NFL prospects, specifically in the SEC. And before we get to some of Missouri's guys, I want your take on Amari Cooper. I mean, for my money, he's no question the best player in college football. Is he the best one you've seen this year?
You know, I still live in Tuscaloosa, and the NFL sends me to Alabama's home conference games, and so I've gotten to see him 4 times in person this year, and it's pretty phenomenal. I mean, I really, when Julio Jones left Alabama, and Julio, of course, I covered him when I was covering the team, so I saw a lot more of him. I covered every game Julio Jones ever played at Alabama. But I wasn't sure I'd ever see another Alabama receiver as good as Julio Jones when he left. And frankly, I think Amari Cooper might just be a little bit better.
Wow. And so Missouri's tasked to at least not let him beat them all by himself. To me, the key to this one, it's the key to every Missouri game and ties in with the NFL prospect angle. I've seen Shane Ray, you know, certainly a top five pick. Some people think he could be like a number one overall guy. Your view, that good?
Gosh, I don't know about a number one overall guy because I think there's still going to be some NFL questions about whether or not he's going to be how he's going to be able to handle a run and when a power running game just comes right at him. Matter of fact, to the SEC championship game, I think that's how Alabama's offense is going to attack Missouri. I think they're going to run powers and counters right at those defensive ends to try to keep them uncomfortable and keep them out of those third and long situations that they love. But getting back to Ray himself, I do think he's, you know, a guy that's got first round talent, and you know, his first step is just so quick. And that's the key to rushing the passer. If your foot is the first one across the line, you got an immediate advantage over the offensive tackle. And Ray is just lightning quick that way.
And you know, Shane Ray's first step, Shane Ray's pass rush, probably the best attribute on the Missouri defensive line. I've watched every game. Both he and Marcus Golden have played for 3 years. It's my opinion Marcus Golden might be the more complete player, but he doesn't have, I guess, the first-round grade from a lot of people at this point. What's your view of the other guy?
Yeah, the fact that he's a little bit bigger than Shane Ray and maybe can hold up against the run a little bit better than Shane Ray at the next level, at the Sunday level, I think that bodes well for Marcus Golden. I like Marcus Golden a lot. I don't have a handle just yet on where he might get picked. Certainly, Bray's the bigger prospect at this point. And a lot of that kind of stuff, of course, can change when you go through the combine, you go through Senior Bowl and some of these other things. But you know, certainly, I think Golden's an NFL player. I don't think there's any doubt about it. You know, you hear questions about a lot of these undersized defensive ends. How are they going to translate to the NFL? Are they going to have to move the linebacker because of their size? That was the big question with Michael Sam, you know, coming out of Missouri last year. Is this guy big enough to put his hand in the dirt and play defensive end every down in the NFL? And here is he just going to have to be a stand-up guy and rush all the time? And you know, you're not hearing a lot of those questions about Shane Ray just yet. You may eventually, when the scouts really start breaking tape down and looking at these guys a little bit closer in the spring. But you know, right now, Ray looks like as strong a pass-rushing prospect as there is out there.
Now, this is a crazy question to ask about a team that's playing in the SEC championship game. I know there's not another first-rounder this year on Missouri's team. Do you see a guy – I mean, I think Mitch Morris has a chance. You know, there are some other guys that will get invited, but is there another draft pick on this Missouri team this year?
It's a good question. You know, there was a little bit of talk about Evan Bame. I don't know. You probably know better than me what kind of year he's had.
Yeah, he really struggled at the start of the year. I'd be awful surprised if Evan leaves early.
Right, right. Yeah, I think that could be it. They're young in some spots, like we said. You know, it was a pretty veteran team last year. And, you know, the team Missouri brought back this year is – young in some spots, and so I don't know that there's enough, not a ton of veterans, I don't think, but yeah, that could be it.
That's pretty. I think this game is a great contrast between the team that wins the first Wednesday in February every year, and then also wins on the field, taking nothing away from Alabama, versus the team that never wins in February and continues to win on the field. I think it's a from people who have spent a lot of their careers, you know, looking at recruiting rankings and draft prospects and things like that. I think it's a fascinating matchup.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I think Missouri's offense can give Alabama some problems because Matty Mock, even though he's been inconsistent this year, I've not been a Matty Mock fan this year. I thought he played a lot better last year than he has this year. He does some things I don't like. I'm not crazy about his footwork. But he does. Sometimes he throws the perfect deep ball. Mm-hmm. And as we saw from Nick Marshall last Saturday, that could be a play. That can be an Achilles heel for Alabama.
All right, Chase, appreciate it, man. I don't ask beat writers that cover a team for a prediction, but because you don't specifically cover either of these teams, I'm going to do it. Do you have a pick yet for Saturday?
Yeah, I think Alabama does win the game, maybe somewhere in the 7-10 point margin. I think they're a better overall football team. But, you know, Blake Sims just threw, and I just wrote this a little while ago for a preview we're working on. Blake Sims threw three picks at Auburn. If he throws three picks again, it could easily be the other way around. So turnovers are going to be huge like they always are. But, you know, if the turnovers are even, I'd look for Alabama to win by 7-10, somewhere in there.
All right, appreciate it, Chase. I know you're on the road to Atlanta tomorrow like I am, so we'll see you down there.
So have a good game.
All right, thanks for joining.
Yeah, man.
Chase Goodbread, 24/7, college football 24/7, and NFL.com. You heard him. He goes to all the Alabama home games and covers the SEC. A little bit of a national perspective there for you. I want to thank Aaron Suttles again for joining us. And I don't know. I've gone back and forth on this one all week. I'm not going to make a pick right now because I'm going to give myself the extra, you know, 36, 40 hours before I have to do it. I don't know what it's going to be. Common sense says Alabama, but common sense says Missouri's not even here. So we'll see what happens. And we'll be back next week to wrap up the SEC championship game. Look forward to whatever bowl game Missouri may be playing in. At this point, Fiesta, Cotton, Peach in the picture if Missouri wins. If Missouri loses, Citrus, Outback, Music City, probably all in the picture. So should be an interesting Sunday. After the SEC title game, and most certainly an interesting Saturday. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.